In this episode, I talk about how we should feel about our horses getting big when online or at liberty. Will it make it more likely that they'll leap and buck when under saddle? Is it okay or not okay to allow it? So here we go, episode 253, Exuberance or Trouble? Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Okay, I am very aware that the last couple episodes have been a little bit of a bummer. Now, really important topics of equine welfare and what to do when you see mistreatment or cruelty. So, you know, to me, that's a positive subject because it comes from our deep, deep love for the horse and how much we care about them. So even talking about things like that is necessary. And again, it comes from a loving place. But I also know that even though it's big, important stuff, it can be a little bit of a bummer to listen to all the time. So I'm going to change it up for this episode, and I want to talk about horseplay. And I don't mean the kind that you're told not to do when you're a kid around a pool. But I want to talk about the situation where you take your horse out to do some groundwork and he starts leaping around. Is that okay or not okay? Often students are concerned about whether it will teach the horse to do that behavior while you're riding. Others might worry that the horse is being disrespectful or disobedient. So my thoughts in a nutshell, well, number one, if they feel like doing this, I'd much rather have it happen on the ground and not while I'm riding. But really, it depends on the horse and the moment. Sometimes I'll even encourage this kind of play if it feels like it lets a horse come out of their shell and really loosen their bodies. Some horses just love to play, so it's a fun way to share something that they really want to do. And sometimes it is a warning sign, and it can get you into trouble. So let's see if I can shed some light on this. One of the first things that I'll think about if I'm in the situation or I'm observing this situation happening with a student's horse is I try to feel into the moment and I ask myself, is this play or is this fear? And we want to make sure that if it's fear, we clear the fear. But if it's play, maybe we play with the play. So fear, you know, those are just two big chunks, right? And there could be many reasons why a horse might be, you know, leaping and bucking and twirling and things like that. Now, it could be in that fear bucket. It could include, you know, anxiety. So fear and anxiety are similar, but sometimes there's this anxiousness that happens, not because they're afraid of something, but they're just in that state. And it could be coming from confusion. It could be coming from frustration. And that frustration could be with you, with what you're asking, with where you are, or it could be just leftover frustration because they've been in their stall or they've been in a herd, but all the other horses have been like picking on them. Or, you know, there's lots of reasons why this state of mind could be. And I'm hesitating to call it, you know, a negative emotion, but, you know, because it just is what it is, and fear has a purpose and anxiety is giving you a lot of information. So I try not to think about it as negative. It's just like, okay, here's some stuff that's happening. But I think it's really helpful with all the nuanced emotional states and reasons and things like that. I think it's really helpful to just kind of put it in these two buckets. Can you put it in a fear, anxiety-ish kind of bucket? Because, you know, confusion can create fear. They're afraid. They don't know what they're supposed to do, right? So fear bucket or playfulness bucket. Like they're just playing like they play with another horse, or they just have a lot of energy and they just think that their bodies are fun to move, you know, that kind of. And I think without getting technical or giving you proper definitions of this, I think if you just kind of trust your instincts and go, is it play or is it fear? Ask yourself that question and just kind of feel into it. Now, they might be playing and it might be creating fear in you. Like I've had that happen. You know, the horse is having a grand old time, but you're like, whoa, this is a little scary to be in it. But you want to get past your own emotion. Like you could be feeling fear at what they're doing and still recognize that the horse is actually feeling playful. And actually the other way around. Sometimes I've seen humans that are trying to play with their horse and they think that they're playing, eliciting this movement, but their horse is actually scared of the things that they're doing. So this is where, as always, self-awareness and self-reflection and being able to kind of zoom out of the moment, look down at it, and take your best guess. Okay, so fear could be anxiety for many reasons, confusion, frustration. We still want to clear it. If there's any kind of things like that, our goal is that we end up clearing that so that they're not anxious, they're not frustrated, they're not confused, they're not scared, whatever that is. That's always, things in that bucket are always the top priority. It may take some time, we might have to do some stuff, but we want to be heading towards that not happening. Now, if it's in the play bucket, we want to be careful. Like I just said, sometimes a horse can be playing, but we can be, it can be scary for us. So even if it is play, we're allowed to still make sure we have our boundaries because we are not horses. And if a horse tries to play with us the way they play with their herd mates, it's unsafe for us. Even if the horse is thinking we're just, oh my God, you're so fun, I'm going to play with you like I play with my herd mates. It's like, okay, thank you, no. So we still have to be able to set our boundaries and direct, you know, lines that they don't go through or remove ourselves from the space. So even if it's play, sometimes, you know, I'll let my horse play, but, you know, maybe I'll stand outside while you do your thing. So we have to, again, read the situation. Is it just a little exuberance or is it like, oh my gosh, they are cutting loose? But if it is in the playful kind of attitude, as long as it's like things that I'll assess, like let's say the horse is feeling just exuberant and feeling playful and he's just having a grand old time, I might do a quick assessment of the space. Is it a big enough space that he can play freely without having to like make really sharp corners? How's the footing? Are the surroundings safe? Right? Is he going to get stuck or trapped in stuff? Because even if they're playing and we can, you know, maybe if we were to put positive or negative to it, we would put playfulness as maybe a more positive heightened state than fear. But sometimes when they're playing in that heightened state, they can lose track of where their feet are or where they are. They're not paying attention in the same way. So I'll usually check my environment. Like, is this a safe place for them to play like this? Now, when it might be a problem as far as this behavior translating to riding is if there's some unresolved fear or pain, right? So remember with fear, anxiety, the goal is to clear it. So if you're unable to clear it, if you're not seeing what the source of the fear is, if you're not seeing what the source of the anxiety is and you just amplify it, right? So if it's unresolved fear, if it's unresolved pain, always have to give the possibility that there could be pain, right? Some horses leap out of pain. So that's one thing to have in your awareness and put that in the fear, pain, anxiety bucket. If there's unresolved confusion, right? Sometimes a horse might act out if every time they come to the session, they're constantly confused. If you've been trying to teach them something and it's always hard and it's always strong and it's never becomes clear to them. then that might have, that might cause them to the next day when they're brought into that space to start acting out and just leaping around. They're like, they want to control the moment because they know they're just going to be confused. If there's unresolved frustration, so, you know, sort of classic example, the horse that's stuck in the stall, you know, 24 hours a day or 23 until you come and take it out, he's frustrated. Well, if tomorrow he goes, well, if you, when you're done, you put him back in the stall and he sits there another 23 hours, he might be frustrated again the next day. And then you put him back in the stall and you come back the next day and guess what? He's still frustrated. So we have to take a best guess and resolve the things that you can resolve, especially if this becomes a chronic kind of issue. Now, another problem of this behavior translating to riding is, and like something you want to look for, is if the leaping and the bucking or whatever, the rearing or whatever it is something that they're doing instead of following simple communications, right? So did you ask for something, you asked for a forehand yield and instead they reared, right? That's very different than you take your horse out and he starts like leaping in the air because they just think that that's fun and you haven't asked for anything. You're just like walking there and then all of a sudden they're rearing. Like that could be just, ooh, I feel good and I'm exuberant. But if they're sort of standing there fine until you ask them something, and then instead of doing what you asked, they do this other thing. You send them, you know, you ask the hindquarters to yield and they start kicking and stuff like that. And then they think they're getting in trouble from that. And so then now they take off and start leaping. So you really want to feel the dynamic of the relationship and the conversation, like what is the conversation that's happening? Because if you're having that kind of a moment where I'm asking for something and instead I'm kind of getting the hairy eyeball, you know, then that might be a problem. Now, some horses are perfectly lovely horses to ride. And if they are having one of these exuberant moments, they come out and maybe you start to ask them for something and then whee, they squeal and they take off bucking. And you could say, okay, Karen, that was a moment. I asked for them to go out on the circle and now they're leaping and bucking. Oh no, is this a huge red flag? Maybe. But if it really is exuberance and not a bigger problem, then chances are throughout the moment, as time goes by in that session, they will likely quickly become increasingly communicative, right? So maybe the first time you send them out, they squeal and leap and you go, okay, I'm going to suspend judgment. That happened. I'll let them leap. Come in. Great. Thank you. Let's try it again. Probably if it's just sort of not a red flag problem, then probably the next time you send them out, it's going to be better. And after a little bit of time, okay, there's my horse again. So that to me would be a good example of it's not really a problem. It's just a moment that has exuberance. And then you can sort of decide based on that horse and that day and everything else, you know, what other information you can glean from that. Because often if it's a horse who has underlying fear, underlying pain, underlying confusion, underlying frustration, then those moments will stay the same or get worse. They'll become, you know, if it's pain, they're going to stay in pain. So they're going to keep doing that. If they're afraid of something and now you're pushing buttons and that makes them even more fearful because they're not being successful, and pressure's going up, like, okay, that's a red flag. That's going to definitely be a problem if you then try to ride that horse. If there's confusion, like you send your horse out to the right and he's like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And he goes to the left and then stuff happens. And that keeps happening because for whatever reason, he hasn't learned that body language and he doesn't know why he's getting it wrong. He doesn't know what to do. And so he just leaps out of confusion and frustration. Unless you resolve that, unless you clear it, then that can cause that behavior, the leaping and bucking, to keep happening. So that's, think about what's he doing? When does he do it in relationship to what you're doing? And is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Right? So you can kind of read your horse. And if you have a horse that you have a good relationship with and you're able to talk to him, but they have these like big moments, the more you're aware and conscious and thinking about these things, the more you can be just like, okay, look at that lovely horse who wants to move. So after I kind of separate it into the two buckets, fear or play, the other question I'm going to ask myself is, am I able to talk to my horse? Right? So how communicative is my horse? And like I said, some perfectly lovely horses that you're going to have a great ride on might be temporarily incommunicative due to their magnificence of their moving bodies. Or you're going to get the feeling of like, whoa, I can't really talk to my horse today. And so I'll check some basics. Like that's one good, basics are great for lots of things. Ask your horse for something super simple. Go back to something really foundational or have some silly tricks up your sleeve, something that you know the horse knows, you know the horse likes in general, or you know the horse finds easy, something not complicated, not physically demanding, something where you both it will be undeniable when it is successfully accomplished. Put your foot on the thing, touch this thing with your nose, hindquarter yield, forequarter yield, back up, something like that. And I'll check some of those basic things. And that can be a really good indication of how communicative my horse is. Right? Because when I ride, I want to feel like I can handle exuberance or energy if I'm able to talk to my horse. If I'm not able to talk to my horse, then even a non-exuberant horse can be not so fun to ride. So I'll check some basic things. And then you can start to notice, even if there still is exuberance, you can notice, all right, is my horse exuberant in between the silly things or the basic communications or while he's doing it, right? So you might go to the barrel, go put your nose on the barrel or go around the barrel and come back. And he's like, okay, takes off, leaps in the air, goes around the barrel, spins around 3 times, then comes back to you. I'm like, all right, he actually did exactly what I said with some extra flair. That's different than go around the barrel, I start to point, and he spins around the other direction, leaps in the air, kicks out at me, and now he's running a million miles around the round pen. Very, very different kind of vibe. So if I can talk to them, then I can go, whoa, big day today, but I can enjoy it because I'm like, oh, look at that. He actually is doing what I'm saying. He's just doing it with some extra flair. And especially if they do things in between when you're asking for something, like fair game, I'm not giving him any direction, so maybe he can do what he wants. If it feels playful. Now, if you feel like you can't talk to your horse, so like, communications are not working, then you might need to just exit the situation, or you may need to, again, first lower the anxiety or exuberance level until he can talk. Sometimes you just have to give it a little time without pressure, just like leave him alone for a minute. You don't have to always perform a fancy technique. Like maybe if you go in there and he's leaping all over the place, maybe you get out of the round pen and just observe him and let him do his own thing for a minute. Maybe you just being in there feels like pressure. Maybe you trying to talk to him in that state is causing pressure. And sometimes if you just wait a minute, it will resolve by itself. And it was just a funny 10 minutes. Don't worry. You don't have to perform the miracle techniques. Sometimes we just set the space, breathe, and just wait a second. I like to use obstacles. I think in previous podcasts, you might have heard me talk about the clutter circle. You can find a video for that in the video classroom. Just search clutter circle. And it's where I use obstacles to cause the horse to be a little more present in his surroundings. You know, if you got one that's like just not present, you know, the kind where they're leaping and it feels like they're going to run you over because they don't even know you're there. You know, that moment to have stuff in the space that's safe, you know, so if they're not communicative and exuberant, then you want to be really careful because they're putting all their energy in and they're not necessarily aware of their space or you. And if you try to talk to them, it's probably not going to work and it might just make things worse. I want to tell you about an online course that I have, and I'm really excited about it. It's called How to Create a Happy Athlete, and it's based on the Happy Athlete Training Scale, which is a proven framework for ethical training that prioritizes your horse's well-being as you move up the levels. Now, if you're the kind of person who loses sleep worrying about how to keep your horse happy and still advance, then you're not oversensitive. You're just really aware, and it means you care. And those are actually superpowers. The reality is you don't have to choose between results and your relationship. You just need to know how to prioritize. So it's about being strategic and having a blueprint to guide you. And that's what the How to Create a Happy Athlete course does. Gives you that framework, and then it shares key exercises. You'll get theory, demonstration, and you'll see me coaching riders through those exercises for their first time. It's really the ideal starting point for anyone of any discipline. It's actually my most concise, powerful, and least expensive online course. So if you've been wanting to learn more from me and you haven't been sure like exactly where to start, this is it. Now, if you're already studying dressage naturally, you're gonna love adding this to your library. So go to go.dressagenaturally.net/HATS, as in HATS, Happy Athlete Training Scale. So again, that's go.dressagenaturally.net/HATS. And I'll leave the link in the show notes. All right, back to the pod. So the goal will be to gather techniques for bringing your horse's attention to you, first to the immediate space and his own body, but you want to do it without adding fuel to the fire. So don't go in with big, big, big techniques. It's probably not going to work. It's probably going to make things worse. And so techniques with that, again, are usually around setting up a circumstance, setting up a little puzzle, just enough that it causes them to think about where they are. And for me, I like to use either obstacles on the ground that they have to be aware of, or I have them online, or actually I do this even at Liberty, and I just quietly intersect them, but you just have to make sure your horse is present enough and aware enough of you that they won't run you over. So be aware. But I'll just tend to quietly make little intersections with them and cause them to, oh, I need to go the other way. And that will start getting them thinking. But I don't want to get heavy into the technique part here because it's so dependent on each different horse. But that's the kind of vibe that you want to go for. So again, the biggest problem is a horse with big energy that also has fear, anxiety of some way, and they are incommunicative. That's a horse you might not want to be playing with unless you really are confident about what you're doing. So just to recognize that as a situation you might not want to get into is helpful. Now, there's another problem I see sometimes happening with this situation is the student is a little bit worried about finding that big energy when they're riding. So they actually go in there with the horse, and they try to get it to come out on the ground. Right? They're like, well, if he's going to buck, I want to find out now on the ground. So you go in and you try to dig for it and try to find it. Now, there's some logic to that, but it's a little more nuanced. So I would say if the leaping really is in there, don't be so careful around that horse that it gets to hide just below the surface. Right? So if you find yourself playing on the ground with the horse and you start finding yourself being really careful, that to me is a little bitty red flag. It means that you know that there's some things in the fear, anxiety, exuberance bucket. You know that they want to move and buck, and you're trying to be super careful that it just stays in there. It is in there still, and it's just hiding. So if I saw a student doing that, I would tempt them to just be normal. Like, just, you know, just be normal, just play. And then if the buck comes out just in normal playing, then okay, then it came out. But so, you know, that speaks to the logic of like, well, if it's in there, let's find it. But I've seen people cross over where, I mean, maybe it's not in there, but they go digging around and sort of trying to bring up the energy in the horse so much that finally the horse, out of often frustration, confusion, a little bit of anxiety, because why is there a human acting like this, that they will actually create the big leaping around because they went digging for it. Where if they hadn't done that, it might not have been in there at all. So this is where if you're thinking there might be this exuberance in there, you have to really, again, have that self-awareness. Are you just a person who worries about every horse bucking? Because one day, you know, 10 years ago, you were bucked off. And so now you're going to go digging around with every horse. And if there's a buck in there, boy, you're going to go find it and make sure it happens. When you're on the ground, you can see it. I mean, that's an extreme example. But I'm sure there's some people listening who are like, oh yeah, I think I do that. You're so worried about it happening that you overcompensate. Or are you a person who, like, you know it's in there, but you start being really careful? So somewhere in between, there's just being your normal, calm, methodical, free-flowing energy kind of person who's not holding back, not being aggressive, not avoiding, just kind of being your normal, respectful conversationalist with your horse. And then the stuff that comes out. And then we can make decisions about it. So, like I said, there's some horses that I will encourage it. Like, if I know the horse, my horse Solan is like that. Like, she's a really interesting blend of, she can be super, almost explosive, but in general, she's pretty like steady to a fault. Like, I'm like, come on, girl, cut loose. And so on the ground, I really encourage her playing, and she can really leap and run, and I'll just kind of poke a little bit and see if it's there. If it's not there that day, I'm not going to go running around like a, you know, chasing her around, but I'll kind of just, you know, shake up the champagne bottle a little bit, right? So some horses to me really feel a little bit like champagne. The cork needs to pop before things can end up pouring out smoothly. You got to shake it up just a little, pop the cork, and then a few minutes later, this beautiful, soft, fizzy stuff pours smoothly out. Right, so that's how I think about creating or looking or encouraging that exuberance. Like, that feels positive to me, but I'm not going to go chasing her around until she starts bucking out of anxiety. Like, that's going to defeat the purpose. So there's so many flavors to how a horse can get big. And there's so many different humans, and sometimes it's not about the right or wrong of the horse or the right or wrong of the human. It's the relationship. It's always the relationship. But I think these are really good things to think about and feel about, and it can change day to day. So I really hope this helps. I hope it helps you let your horse play. Sometimes that's the quickest way to relaxation, is like, let them play. Don't make them hold it in and hold it in and hold it together. Like, just let them play. Let them free flow. Make sure that you're feeling into the moment. But do check that you have boundaries established, and do check the communicativeness. Is that a word? Check how well the communication's going, right? The more I, you know, it's just like riding bridleless. The more you know you can stop and turn, the easier it is to let go of the reins, right? So the more you know you can set a boundary or send your horse away or have a conversation with your horse, the more you're going to feel good when they give you that extra exuberance. All right, so I hope that helps. I hope it helps you make some of those decisions and look at the exuberance in a different way. I hope it saves you from some trouble, and I hope it helps you experience some more expressive energy too. All right, have fun. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email, or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse. Move in harmony and enjoy the process.